Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. And just as they're waking me out, I have the privilege this morning of calling up our special speaker. She's been in Victory Outreach for over 20 years. She's a UTC graduate. She's a mother of four. And she has an amazing taste in men. I would like you to put your hands together for my beautiful wife, Simone, as she makes her way up. Amen.
Thank you, you're very funny. thank you, worship team. I would like to thank you all for coming this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. I hope you have a fantastic day today. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for the opportunity to gather around your word today. God, you're such a good God. Thank you for the way you love us, God, that you're always with us. You are our strength. You are our hope, Lord God, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to thank you, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky and the leadership for the privilege of speaking this morning. I have to say, when my husband told me that I've been asked to speak, I actually thought he was lying. and I didn't believe him, but here we are. So I thank God for my mum. My mum's been a fantastic mum to me and my three brothers. I'd like to thank God for my husband. He's such a loving husband. He really is. And it's my... And it's my husband's support, and I mean that with my whole heart, that helps me to be the mum that I am, because he plays his role as the dad and the man, the father, the husband in our home. So it releases me to play my role, because I don't have to play his. So to the single mums, you're doing a great job, because when he goes away, I feel the difference. Well done. I'm also so grateful for the kids God has blessed me with. You know, there's that scripture that it says the Lord puts the lonely in families. And that's how I felt before, you know, in years and years ago. And God blessed me with a family. So I'm very grateful for that. And most of all, thank you, for God, for my salvation, for saving me, for walking with me. So I've said Happy Mother's Day to you all. I tell you just a little bit about myself. I became a part of VO when I was 16 years old, and that was in London. So I've been in the ministry since then. Since then, God's blessed me with a husband. I'm a mum of four. And I found when you become a parent, it really changes you. Can any of the parents say amen? Life is never the same again. And they say, you know, when you get married, that you die to half yourself. And then when you have kids, you die to the other half. It's very true. What they didn't tell me was that with each child, you die even more. You think you're dead, but there's more death to happen. So my youngest is two. My children are 9, 7, 5, and 2. And so you can imagine, that's been a lot of broken night's sleep. It's been a lot of sleepless nights, 9.5 years of sleepless nights. But very recently, and to me this is very amazing, and when the mums hear this, you will understand, I'm not breastfeeding my youngest anymore. And so me and my husband swapped sides of the bed. Now, what this means is that he's closest to the door. Yes! So when the baby cries, or Rocco cries, he gets out of bed. It is not me. So there are nights that I just sleep right through. And I have to say, when he used to do it, I thought he was lying. But it's true, when you're on the other side, sometimes you just sleep through it. And there are other times when I have the privilege, not all the time, love, just sometimes, I can just kick him when the baby cries. And he goes and gets him. It's fantastic. Okay. Because, you know, sleep is so important. Okay, so we're going to start to look at our message. The background of our message begins in Genesis. And it tells in Genesis we find out the story of Joseph. Now you may know Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and he was used by God to save Egypt in a time when there was going to be a great famine. He was so great was what God did in his life that he was second in control to only Pharaoh in the whole land of Egypt. And because of how God had used him greatly, Pharaoh blessed his whole family. He moved his whole family to Egypt. They were given the best of the land. Him and his family had favor because of how God's hand was on Joseph's life. Yet the Bible tells us that some time passed away and there was a new king that came. And this new king didn't know about what Joseph had done. So by now the Israelites had grown and they were a large tribe of people, a large nation of people. And this new king became threatened by them. And instead of being blessed and grateful for how Joseph had been used by God to help the Egyptians, he began to see them as a threat. And he aroused all of the Egyptians to see them as a threat and made them their slaves. Now, I know it's hard to imagine, but I want you to imagine for a minute. It's a bit like us, you know, being Christians and the government turning around and saying, right, there's too many Christians in England. It seems hard to believe, but imagine this is what happened. And anyone who's a Christian from now on, they made us our slaves. They made us slaves. They gave us hard labor, gave us all the back-breaking jobs and made our lives a misery. Can you imagine what that would be like? We'd have no schooling, no university, no bank accounts, no working tax credit, no child tax credit, no job seekers allowance, no housing benefit, no pension, no free healthcare. What do you think that would be like? Anybody? Horrible. It would be horrible. And suddenly there would be a cap on anything we could achieve in our lives because somebody has put us into a position of being slaves. So I just want to turn to Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. And I'm looking from the New Living Translation. It says, "Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live." Now, can you imagine what that really would have been like? For anyone who's had children or you've seen the preparation that people go through to have children, it's tremendous. You buy loads of clothes for a new child. You want to sort out somewhere where the baby can sleep. You buy a car seat. You might buy baby bottles, a baby sterilizer, a buggy. You adjust your finances, and there's endless nappies. And even your body changes. Your hips expand. Your ribs expand. You put on weight. All these things happen in the expectation for a baby. But more than this, there's an internal expectation for a baby. When you're waiting for a baby to arrive, there's an internal expectation, and you know that life will never be the same. And knowing this, Pharaoh wanted to come and kill the Israelites' hope. And instead of it being a time of expectation, it would have been a time of fear. Can you imagine that you are pregnant, or your wife or your neighbor or someone you know was pregnant, and they know if that baby's born and it's a boy, that Pharaoh's ordered the midwife to kill it? Can you imagine how you would feel? It would be a time of fear. You'd be afraid. Okay, if it's a girl, hallelujah. But if it's a boy, you know its life is going to be taken from it. So if we read on in verse 17 in Exodus 1, it says, "But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too." Thank God for these midwives who feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. But if you jump to verse 22, it says, "Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." And so this is the background of the story we're looking at. And we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. And it reads, "About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." So the first point I want to look at is that motherhood is a high calling. Motherhood is so much more. This is according to Kate at Teaching What Is Good. Motherhood is so much more than addressing the basic needs of our children. We're shaping and preparing a generation to be mighty in God's word, to be mighty in his spirit. We're building children's souls. We're building their spirits. You're teaching them practical skills, how to care for their body, how to be hygienic, how to look after themselves. We're giving them vision and wanting to instill with them a sense of the calling of God's hand on their lives. In Psalm 127, verse 4, it says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth." So as parents and as mothers, we're training up warriors. They're not just kids. We're training up warriors in God's kingdom. It tells us that children are like arrows. Now, a warrior doesn't just become a warrior overnight. They take time to train. They eat well. They exercise. Everything they do is geared towards being the best warrior and being skilled in their craft. So as mothers, we want to be skilled in parenting our children. We want to also be trained ourselves to train our children to be the best that they can be. Motherhood is an assignment from God. Sometimes we could just think, oh, you know, people just have children, but we don't want to be women that just have children or just look after children. We want to be women who are purposeful in the way in which we raise the children that God entrusts us with. Number two I'd like to look at is we are mothers as servants unto God. And I think this is so important. This is for mothers and for fathers, and even for people who work with children. The children that God entrusts in our hands, we are God's servants to serve those children. And we've got to see what God sees when he looks at those children. And this isn't just for children. This is for people we'd work with in ministry as well. We need to see what God sees. Sometimes we can put what we see on people and limit them by what we see. But God has already placed in our children a plan. He's placed in them a purpose. Just as the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, God knew us and he chose us. That is also how God sees the children that he gives us, the children he trusts us with, the people he entrusts in our ministries. He had a plan for them before he made the world as well. And in light of this, we've got to be so careful in what we speak over our children, careful what we speak over each other, careful what we speak over whoever God has placed under our sphere of influence. So thinking of this, how do we speak to those that God has given us influence over? Because we're going to answer to God for how we treat those people. We are God's servants. We are answerable unto him. So is stupid the way we should address our children? Idiot, foolish, good for nothing. But these are words that sometimes can come out of our mouths, or even if it's said in the private place, God still sees. We need to be careful what we speak over those we have influence over. We need to speak the word of God. We want to see formed in their lives what God's purpose is. And if this is our desire, we can, with our mouths, undo what we want to see formed in their hearts. So we need to be so careful that our words line up with what we're believing for, what we're praying for God to establish in their lives. And this it's not just true for having children. This is true for our ministries. This is true in our workplaces. Wherever we have influence, the Bible tells us that there is life and death in the power in our tongue. So as they say, if you haven't got anything good to say, then be quiet. We've got to remember our homes are the first place that our children will encounter God. If we're telling them God loves you, God has a plan for you, what are their lives like at home? What is your home like? Is it a place that they encounter the love of God? Is it a place where they know God loves them? What are your ministries like? Is it a place where people encounter the love of God? Is it a place where God's word is spoken over them, where they're encouraged that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them? How about in the workplace? Do we reflect what we preach with our mouths? Do we reflect, yes, you can do all things through Christ. God loves you. God has a plan and purpose for you. Number three, I'd like to look at faith, hope, and love begin at home, which is continuing on from what I've already said. And there's an old English saying, it says, charity begins at home. And people have taken this out of context, and it's become a phrase that's used as a justification for being selfish. But if we look back to the original meaning, in the Old English, charity was also translated as love. So we could say love begins at home. But the truth is, this is how it should be in its purest form. Love should begin at home. That's the first place that children should encounter the love of God. The Bible tells us love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not rude. Is this how we are at home? Or is it one person at church and a monster that lives at home? Because the thing is, sometimes we even fool ourselves. We think that we've got it together. We think sometimes, you know, I come to church, I do the right thing, I sound good, but who are you at home? Who are you when no one's looking? Who are you at work? Who are you when you're around the unsafe people? Are you a light, or do you blend in so much that we can't see the difference? Who are we? Jochebed's faith was evident in her home, and she believed in the calling that God had for her life. She put in her child's life, sorry, and her life, she put her life at risk to protect her son. Anything could have happened to her. If they'd found that baby hiding in her home, they would have killed the baby. And who knows what would have happened to her. But she decided to speak and believe and take steps of faith so that God's purpose for her child could be fulfilled. And in our own home, my husband and I have had to be careful what we speak over our children as well. Now, one of my children, and some of you know, when he was at nursery, one of his teachers said to me they thought he was on the autistic spectrum. And we hadn't really thought of that. We knew that he was very, very clingy to me. Wherever I went, he wanted to be. He didn't settle in children's church. My Sundays at church were spent with him next to my side in the baby room. And it came to a point where it was very difficult. So we did. We went to see the doctor. They referred us to a specialist. We went to see the doctor. And he said to us, yes, well, it's possible, but we'd have to do some tests. But from looking at him, I think he's got ADHD as well. So we went in with one question and came out with two problems. We came out with two problems, two labels. And so I felt devastated. I felt broken. I was like, God, what is this? What is happening? Very devastated. But thank God that we can pray. And thank God for the word of God. So my husband and I, we prayed. I had a friend, we prayed. And then I taught him the word. And I taught him. Sorry, I might get emotional now. Thank you. So I taught him to say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So he learned this scripture. He started to speak it over himself. We spoke it over him, and we continued to pray to speak this word over him. And then God is so faithful, because So my husband took him to the test where they test for ADHD, and you have to sit at this computer, and in the middle of the test, the fire alarm goes off. So, and so they said, well, Mr. Keenan, you can come back and do it again, or you can come another day. So he says, wait, and I think, oh, I think, you know, his concentration will be even less now if he has to start again from the beginning. But my husband decided to stay. They did the test again. And I can testify, God is so faithful. They went back for the results. The same doctor who tried to give him this label, this diagnosis, the same doctor who said, we have never seen a child score so high on this exam, proving that he does not have ADHD. So God is faithful, but as parents, as believers, as leaders, whatever sphere God has you in, we have our part to play. God may have a calling and a plan for the lives of those we influence in our ministries, in our homes, but we have a job to draw those giftings out. And remember, it's not our agenda. God already has an agenda. It's partnering with God to do what he wants to do. Not enforcing our will, our idea. It's drawing out what God wants to do. It's his idea. And fourthly, I'd like to look at, as mothers, we sacrifice, invest, and then release our children to become all that God has called them to be. Yes, we sacrifice. You sacrifice sleep. We sacrifice your money. You sacrifice your time, your body, everything. But it's an investment. I think it's a shift. It's not sacrifice. It's an investment because it's worth it. It is worth it. Another human being is worth investing in. God says he so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We need to have God's heart. How does God see people? How does God see our children? Do you know our God died for our children? He died for them to be saved. Just as we would in ministry want to give the best to people we minister to, we need to give our best to our children, not our leftovers. Because it can be easy. You come home from work, you're tired. Work can be long and hard. Can anyone say amen? You can get home, you see your children, oh, shut up, watch the TV, have this. But that's not what God wants. No, he wants us to give the best. We need to save some of yourself so when you come home, you can give your children the best and invest into them. I think one of the hardest things that Jochebed had to do was to release Moses to the princess. Imagine giving away your child that you love. I can't imagine it, having to give away your child. And how do you think Moses would have felt being given away? Perhaps he didn't understand. Maybe he was crying. Maybe he was clinging on to his mum. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave. He didn't want to go to this place that he didn't know. But isn't that how God parents us sometimes? We don't understand why he lets us go through the things we go through. We don't understand, why am I going through this, God? What is going on? But with Moses, there was a bigger picture. And in our lives, there's a bigger picture as well. Moses being given away, his mother being willing to release him, not only saved his life, which he may not have known at that point, didn't just save him, but it put him in a place that he would save the entire nation of Israel because a mother was willing to release her child unto God. And if you read back, dads, you're wonderful. But if you read back into Exodus, it was the mother who saw that the child... Sorry, Dad, you are wonderful. But it was the mother that saw that the child was special. It was the mother that saw that the child was special. There's something special about a mother's heart and love for a child. I told you, my husband will play with the kids and throw them across the room. When he does that, he's my husband, I love him, but I want to fight him when he does that. Because I'm like, this child, I have carried this child for 9 months and you're throwing them across the room. There's something about a mother's connection with their child. Yeah, they can be like a lioness. They will fight you if you mess with their kids. They really will. So there's something special. So having this protectiveness, she released him. And look how God honored her faith. Look how God honored her faith. This same Moses grew up. This same Moses became the deliverer. He wrote books in the Bible. God used him to establish the law in the Old Testament. He was greatly used by God because she stood and had faith in what God could do through her child. So I want you to think this morning, who are the people you have influence over? If you're a mother, if you're a father, what about your children? What can you see in them? Not what you want. Maybe they will be a doctor or a nurse, but what does God want? Maybe that's not the call of God. What is God's calling on their lives? And if the keyboardist, thank you, could come back up. What is God's calling on their lives? What does God see in the people that you have influence over? What is his will, his plan? We need to see what God sees. I remember that the Bible told us that these kids, they're like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. So we need to have that warlike approach to our parenting as well. It's not just getting up, roll into it, get on, see how we go. We're warriors. God has called us as parents to be warriors. We make war for our children. We intercede on their behalf. We fight the enemy on their behalf. We go through things so they will never have to. We fight battles. There's victories God has given me that I've been able to give to my daughters, my sons, and they've never had to go through it because I fought those battles for them. My husband's fought those battles for them. And that's what the Bible teaches us to do. In the Old Testament, God told them, when you eat, teach them about who I am. When you walk, teach them about who I am. Whatever you're doing, teach them. Just like you breathe, teach them. Teach them. And I'll be honest, we don't spend a lot of time where we just sat down just talking about the Lord. But whatever we do, we try to bring God into it. We tell them how God can help them. God can help you on your maths exam. God can help you with the child who's being difficult with you. God can help you with your gymnastics. God can help you with these things. And the children learn that God is a living God. He intervenes on their behalf. He's interested in their lives. And even at the age they are, God can use them. God does use them, and we need to encourage them. You don't have to be too old. Right where you are, God can use them and does use them. But can we see that? Are we parenting them that God can use them right here, right now, at the age they're at? God wants to. God is. Let us not be a hindrance to what God wants to do. Let us partner with the Lord, partner with him in bringing out the best in the children, the best in the people that he places around us. Amen. Do we just stand this morning? If we just close our eyes. If you're a mum here today, I just want to encourage you that you're doing a good job. God is with you. Stay connected to God. The greatest thing you can give your children is giving out of your relationship with God. You need to stay connected with God. Stay connected with him, knowing how much he loves you and the plan and purpose he has for your life. So you can give to your children out of your relationship, the overflow of your relationship with God. And I know some here this morning, as moms, we've made mistakes and relationships with our children might be broken. But I want you to know that God is a restorer. God is a restorer. And he says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So if you'd like to come forward this morning to respond to anything you've heard, you're welcome to. But I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord God, that you are a faithful God, Father. Lord, help us, God. Help us, God, to not look at our children or each other, Father, or other people in our influence through our own eyes. But, Father, help us to see what you see, God. Give us eyes of faith, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let us partner with you, Father God, in speaking what you speak, Father, in seeing what you see, Father God. Let your will be done, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, use us, God, to be mighty warriors, God, wherever you've placed us, Lord God. Let us be skilled, Father, skilled in working with the children you bring to us, skilled in working with those you call us to minister to, God, skilled in wherever you would use us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, let our words not tear down, God, what you are building, God, in the hearts, God, of our children, and in the hearts of people you place around us, God. Let our words, Father, be life, God. Let our words be life, Father. Let our words be life, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. You know what I want to do? We have a little bit of time. I want mothers to come forward. And I want Simone to pray over you, man. I've known Simone since London days. And I've seen her growth and the way that God has changed her heart, changed the way that she lives. Just come forward if you're a mum. You just want a bit of prayer right now. Just come and fill this place. And I'm going to have Simone. He's going to pray a mother's prayer over you. Because from one mum to another mum, from one heart to another, with the understanding, with the empathy, to go before the throne of grace on your behalf. Amen. And I really believe that God is going to touch your heart in a new way today. How many of you have been blessed today by hearing this? Huh? God is in the room. God is in the place. Amen. Just lift up your hands. We're going to have Simone. It's just going to pray for you. Just allow the Spirit of God to touch you, and to feel you, to hold you. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you.
Hallelujah. Oh, Ramato Daramate. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Ramate. Jesus, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you, Father God, you see us, Lord God. You see us, Father God. You see all these mothers, Lord God. You see us, God. We are not unseen by you, Lord God. You see us, God. Oh, God, can we ever outgive you, God? Every time we're empty, God, help us to come to you, Lord God, to lay our burdens down, Father God, to lay our children at your feet, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring our children before you, God. Father, have your way, Father God. Have your way in their lives, God. Father, give us wisdom, Jesus. Give us wisdom in how to parent them, God. Give us wisdom in how to shape them, God. Give us wisdom in how to mold them. Give us wisdom in what to speak over their lives, God. Help us to see what you see, God. Have your eyes of vision, God. Your eyes of faith, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, have your way. Father, have your way, Lord God. Father God, where our thinking has been small for our children, God, forgive us, God. Expand our minds, God. Expand our minds, Jesus. Expand our capacities, Father God. Help us, Father God, to see, to think as you do, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for all those who are weary, Father God, that you would encourage them, Lord God, that you would lift them, Father God, that they would be lifted, Father God, knowing that you would refresh them in your presence, Lord God. You would refresh them in your presence, Lord God. You would refresh them, Jesus. Father, where relationships are broken, Father, we pray for restoration between mothers and daughters, God. Restoration between mothers and sons, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that as we pray, as we speak over their lives, God, you will restore, God. You will do it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we look to you, God. You are our hope, Lord God. You are our source, Lord God. You are our strength, Lord. You are our daily bread. You are our hope, Lord God. You are our enabler, Lord God. You are our strength, Lord. You're our foundation, God. You are our helper. You're the lover of our souls. You are the one who will never leave us. You are the one who will never forsake us. You will complete the work you've begun in us. You will complete the work you've begun in our children, God. You will never leave them, Father. You will never forsake them, God. Thank you, God, our prayers are not in vain, Lord God. Thank you that our tears are not in vain, Lord God. Father, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.